coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It's Wednesday, November 8th, 2023. Yes, I know there was an election yesterday. Yes, I know that there's wars going on and rumors of wars. I get that. Yes, I know about the censure of, what's her name? Not Ilhan Omar, the other one. You know, about her anti-Semitism. Yes, I know there's just so many headlines and so many things that we need to talk about. We're going to have a show on that later, on the current events later. But I want to tell you folks about something. Eric the Tech and I, my son-in-law, he's got a couple of the most beautiful, beautiful grandchildren a grandfather could ever have. The conversation turned to school and learning and children's creativity. The schools, we were talking about schools and what the schools lack and what they teach and what they force upon the children. And, you know, we're very good, aren't we, about talking and focusing about problems. But how many times can we deliver a solution or an alternative to you? That's what people are looking for. Yes. What are we going to do about the war, of course, in the Middle East? What are you and I going to do about that? Directly, not much. Are we going to have much of an impact on that? No. But what about our children and our grandchildren? Can we have an impact on them? Yes, we must. I happened to be talking to a number of people. One, of course, Dave Hodges, who interviewed my guest, Chad Stewart. Lisa Haven, I didn't speak with Lisa. Okay, but I heard an interview of Chad Stewart, C.R. Stewart, for The Poetic Among Us. And he's got something, folks, if you are a parent, if you are a grandparent, or you, yourself, if you're between the ages of 7 and 100, then this program, this show, this episode is for you. It's about solutions. It's about raising the creativity of our children. It's about a lot of things. Okay. It's about solutions. Chad Stewart, he's an international award-winning and best-selling author, educator, and global strategist. Through his national school tours, Mr. Stewart traveled some 9,000 miles. Think about that. Through 23 states, that's almost half. If my math is correct, I didn't go to an indoctrination school, so yes. In fact, he presented at over 180 schools to more than 40,000 students. One of the most awarded novels in literature. Now listen to these words I'm saying. One of the most awarded novels in literature, Britfield and the Lost Crown. It's a timeless classic, transforming education and entertainment while fostering creativity. What I just said creativity, right? Critical thinking. Oh, how we lack, but oh, how this will help that. And bringing encouragement to children and families, not just in the U.S., but all through North America and worldwide. The first live-action Britfield movie is projected to become, now listen, it's projected to become one of the highest-grossing films in cinematic history. This will rival, if you can, try to wrap your brain around this. This will rival Star Wars that came out in 77. Narnia. I'm terrible at pronunciation of some of these words here. The Lion and Lion Witch and the Wardrobe, the 2005 production. And even the Harry Potter series. Now, to the parents, if your children were engrossed in Harry Potter and you wished you had an alternative that is much more in line with your beliefs, this is it. Folks, do me a favor. In addition to going to HagmanPI.com and opening the description box and reading about this in today's episode, go to and bookmark Britfield, Britfield, just like it sounds, Britfield.com. It's on your screen right now. And I also, as we talk, I want you to think about something, the creativity, the entertainment, the education that books offer. I want you to think about if you exchange Christmas gifts or gifts for the upcoming holidays, there is this magnificent, and I just learned about this, and I'm going to tell you right now, I am purchasing, if I told you the number that you, I could, then you could know how many grandchildren I have, and then I would seem old. But if for every one of my grandchildren, this is what they're, one of the things they're getting for Christmas is the trilogy. Each book is signed. It's a beautiful package. And it really stokes their creativity. Now, I hope I did okay in introducing my guest without taking too much of his time. Because again, look, folks, we can talk all day long about problems, and we do. And but our children are greatest, the most important people in our lives are our children, along with our spouse, of course, but and our dogs, but our children. So let's do something positive for them. Let's enhance their creativity. And this man, the man behind Britfield.com, the Britfield series, I'm so honored to have with me Chad R. Stewart. Mr. Stewart, thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you, Doug. Gosh, that was a wonderful introduction. I really appreciate that.
I hope I did. And I meant every word of it because, you know, I look at my grandchildren will be over to my home later. And every time they come over, I think, what have they been exposed to and what can I do to help them? You know? So, but this is where you come in. Right?
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. So I can do a quick.
I'm going to turn you loose. Go ahead.
So kind of kick it off and then we can pull any threads on the overview. But I'm originally from Newport Beach, California. I was back east in Wellesley, Massachusetts for 16 years. I did my undergraduate work in British literature and European history, which we'll explain the series. Went on to postgraduate work and then got an MBA and was actually got into banking and was an investment banker 12 years ago, you can imagine. And I was on the dark side. And but I was dying to do something creative. And, you know, I come from a creative background. I was very blessed in that sense. And I had just a wonderful elementary school and I was just always creative. And it was about 12 years ago, I was sent to this boring seminar in Providence, Rhode Island. I think it was insurance and it was on the weekend. I had to go. And I, you know, promised myself, you know, I'll focus and I'll take notes and I won't doodle. And I just started to drift and I started to doodle. And I doodled a simple circle, three lines, a basket, a boy and a girl. And I wrote the boy in the balloon. And for some reason, that image and that idea just resonated with me. And all of a sudden, this whole story started blossoming in my mind. And so I went home that weekend, literally just on one piece of paper. I started to outline the story. I thought this would be a really fun book to write. So, you know, escapism for myself to do something creative. And it starts up in Yorkshire, Northern England. It's in present day, present time. It starts at this horrible orphanage called Weatherly Orphanage. It's about Tom, 12 years old. He's been an orphan his whole life. He's been at Weatherly for 6 years, and this is the year he's going to escape. But he's not going anywhere without his best friend, Sarah. And somewhere along the lines, they commandeer a hot air balloon and start flying all over England to Oxford, to Windsor, to London, and finally down to Canterbury. But they're chased by the illustrious detective Gowerstone. And that was kind of the premise of the story. I lived off and on in England for 2 years. You know, I loved the culture, the history there. And so I sat down, started writing, and it took me 4 years, 2,500 hours just to produce book one, Britfield and Lost Crown, 384-page book. And then from concept to officially launching in August 2019, it took me 10 years. 10 years of hard work, dedication, working on the business plan, building my team, tons of rejection, tons of failure, frustration, you know, depression, you name it, but just staying focused. And we finally launched it. And that's when we kicked off our national school tour. Like you said, 9,000 miles, I actually drove 9,000 miles through 23 states. Actually, it was 200 schools, 40,000 students. And since then, it's become a national bestseller. It's actually in the top 1% of all books ever published within the same time frame. And it's part of a 7-book series. We launched book two, Britfield and the Rise of the Lion, in 2021. It takes place in France. Thomas there now 13. And then last year we launched Britfield and Return of the Prince, which takes place in Italy. And that's Thomas there now 14, and that's 575 pages. And I'm now almost done with book four, Britfield and the Eastern Empire, which takes place in Eastern Europe and Russia. And then book five will be Asia, book six will be South America, and then book seven would be the United States. And so what you really have is this fast-paced, almost like James Bond meets Narnia meets, you know, Jason Bourne series that travels the world. And
I'm buying, you know what, add one more, Eric the Tech, add one more set for me. I'm buying one. That's amazing. Okay, continue. I didn't mean to interrupt, but
no.
You know, when you talk about this, before we went on air, you said, because I said, what's the readership ages? And you said we have anywhere from 7 years old to 93 years old. So, I mean, in terms of, you know, people that you know of that read the series. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, our youngest reader is 7, our oldest reader is 93. 55% of the audience are adults, which is great. And I think what's the things that are great about the story and the novels and the series is, number one, it takes place in present time. And I think that's really important in a world that is saturated with, high-level fiction, witchcraft, demigods, superheroes, occultism, post-apocalyptic, futuristic, you know, everything, you know, that isn't reality. And it's kind of a flashover substance reality. It's a disconnect from reality. And so Britfield really grounds the reader, grounds the children that are reading it, the students, into the series, into real places, real time. They learn about history, geography, art, architecture, and culture. We've got maps at the beginning of the book to get them engrossed in geography. It's about family, friendship, loyalty, courage, and faith. And it hits the four C's, critical thinking, creativity, communication, and collaboration. And so we're in the process right now, the first of 7 movies. We transitioned book one, Britfield and Lost Crown, into a theatrical play about 18 months ago, specifically for elementary and middle schools to, again, bring back quality content to the theater programs and really almost a disconnect from the saturation of musicals in schools. And don't get me wrong, they're fun. But with every musical, you're really alienating 80 to 90% of kids that want to go out for theater. Yeah, you can kind of scroll down a little bit there. That's great, Eric. We piloted it last October at a school in Mission Viejo in Southern California. And it was just absolutely wonderful. The kids were amazing. You can see some of the screenshots there. If you go down, you'll see the whole crew. Actually, where are they? Yeah. There they are. And it's 30 students from 4th to 8th grade. And it's got speaking roles for over 30 students. Takes place in present time. Very easy to put on as a theater production. It's perfect for schools, for theater programs, homeschool groups, English departments. And it was wonderful. It has 28 sound effects, 54 visual slides, if you have the wherewithal to project the images. And so, you know, you start up in Yorkshire and you've got that background, and then it's at Weatherly Orphanage, and then you have Oxford and High Street and all these just beautiful buildings. And then when they're flying in the balloon, you can see just the gorgeous landscapes of England. And so we were excited. So we did it over 4 nights, had amazing feedback, and we launched it globally this year in February. So that's just another one of the things that we're doing. We're really trying to bring creativity back to the classroom. We've got an 83-page study guide based on national standards. So Britfield actually right now, as we speak, is being taught in hundreds of schools across the nation, you know, semester by semester.
Don't skim over that, because I know we have teachers listening. So if you're a teacher out there of any grade virtually, you can go to Britfield.com, click on the play on the menu bar, and you can actually order the script and the, well, the package, basically. And you can, but by doing so, you can have your children, or the, your students, that is, become creative and involved. And, I mean, it's a great experience, as you have pointed out. I did okay on that, right? Because I don't want to undersell this. I mean, this is I don't think this can be oversold. I just don't want to undersell it. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no, it was designed turnkey, and so you can literally go on the website and download everything. You have the director's script, the actor's script, director's notes, scene by scene, how to set it up, how to light it. And again, too, as a director, it's just suggestions, but we walk you through everything. So if you've never actually done a theater production, maybe you're a teacher that just would love to put something on, or even just do it as a reading script within the classroom. It's wonderful. And we could spend time, if you want, just talking about, you know, the wonderments of theater. And just because a child goes out for theater doesn't mean they're going to be trying to become a professional actor. But just being in theater, I was in theater when I was in my youth, and I think you talk to anybody and it's absolutely wonderful. You know, you work as a team, you're working on a story, you know, you have the dedication of showing up in the rehearsals and memorizing lines, and oh dear goodness, standing up in front of an audience, right? I mean, I'll be honest, when I was fourth or in fifth grade, I wouldn't have gone anywhere near a theater. You know, it came later. But it's just a wonderful experience. And yet you have so many of these plays out there that are sort of just off the reservation a bit, or it's kind of the same 25 that they've been doing for 50 years, or it's a musical. And it's like, that many kids really want to go out for a musical. Yes, a couple, you know, the boys and the girls that have great voices and can sing, you know, that's your 10%, and the rest of them are just in the background. And suddenly you have a theatrical play like Britfield and Lost Crown that takes place in real time, so it's really easy to costume. And it's and we do something with the stage too, where you have your main stage, the main scenes, and the, you know, the lights come up, and then when that scene's over, the lights come up over on the right or left as another scene continues, and so it's really seamless. It doesn't stop and then reset and then open up with the lights, so it's moving the whole time. All 30 actors have speaking roles. All 30 actors are involved, from the orphans to the police to the background to, you know, students at Oxford to, you know, business people in London. We use the whole theater. So there's like scenes where, you know, kids are walking up, you know, from behind you, and scenes like this and that. They never break the fourth wall, but it's a complete immersion into, you feel like you're in England and you feel like you're in the production. And it was thrilling. It was just exciting. I mean, it was surreal to watch, you know, here's the writer, the author. And then I spent 18 months taking it, you know, it's hard to take 384 pages and put it into a 90-minute, two-act theatrical play. I think it's 87 pages. That was difficult. You know, like, what do you cut and still get your story up there? But it was just like to see the characters. And I was at the rehearsal last year in August. It was so cool to see all these kids coming out. And it's a wonderful school. We had given our presentation there twice before, as we're part of our school tour. And it was actually the theater director, Michelle Shoemaker. And I was leaving one day and she goes, "Did you ever think of turning Britfield into a theatrical play?" And I'm like, "No." You know, I'm like movies, television programs, yes. Products, absolutely. A play? What do I know about a play? And so she helped me a lot. It was through her guidance and direction. I do come from a script writing background, so it wasn't new to me. I spent decades, you know, writing sort of movie scripts, and which gave me the gifts, if you will, to write the novels. And I think 90% of the people that read the Britfield novels say it reads like a movie. And it feels like I'm there. I got some feedback just a couple of weeks ago from, we get thousands of letters from around the world. And I'll just never forget. It was one comment. Actually, it was a school, and the classroom had to pick their favorite author. And I got four letters, and I thought, here's my four letters. And I thought, hey, huh, that's cool. Like just to even be in, you know, that category is like just a huge honor. But to have four students, and they wrote me these really nice letters, and you know, one of them said, you know, "I love book one, that's my favorite out of the three." And then someone else said, "I love book two, Britfield and Rise of the Lion, that's my favorite." And it was the third letter that this child said, "Love your series, it's my favorite. Love Britfield and the Return of the Prince." And he goes, "Sometimes when I'm reading the book, I forget that I'm reading a novel." And I just thought, wow, like he's so immersed in it, and it's so real. I thought, that's like one of the best comments I've ever received.
So. Absolutely. You know, as an author myself, okay, and boy, then I say that, you know, my books might have sold 50,000 copies in total, but there's a passion and a passion that I sense about you, and I understand the labor that goes into it. But I'll tell you something: of all the authors, real authors I've interviewed, I've got to say that to have someone of your caliber have such a fantastic, positive impact, again, on our children. God bless you, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I mean, from day one, our beachhead has always been the schools, specifically the elementary and the middle schools, which is why we kicked off our tour. I mean, it was for a lot of reasons. One, you know, new author, Britfield, never heard of it. And so it was a great way to sort of, you know, promote the series. And literally, I mean, I drove all the way up to Seattle, all the way across to Chicago, all the way down to New Orleans, and all the way up to Memphis, Tennessee. And we broke it up, you know, like 3 months, and then we take a break, and then 3 months and stuff. And so 23 states. Actually, and we were on our tour and had to stop. I was in Memphis, Tennessee, March 2020, when all the schools started closing, and I thought, uh-oh. So I had to turn around, drive all the way back to San Diego. So it was kind of fun because, you know, we immediately, you know, what do? When you're faced with a problem, well, you figure out a solution. You know, you move, you pivot, you become flexible. And so we turned the author visit into a virtual author visit. And it was kind of fun because I was able to finally reach schools I probably wouldn't have, like in Florida and Georgia, Indiana. We did our first international author visit to a school in Australia, which is 16 hours ahead of us. And we've got schools in England now and New Zealand, and it's amazing. We get feedback from, like, South America. We get feedback from South Africa. I shipped off some books to South Africa. I'll never forget, it was about a month ago, it was a woman that's been buying the book series as they come out, and she's in the Netherlands, older woman, you know, in her 50s, 60s. And she goes, "I love Britfield." She goes, "I've never read anything like it." And I think just that alone is, I mean, are you kidding me? Like, I'm in the arena of the greats. You know, I was inspired by James and the Giant Peach and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and Charles Dickens was one of my favorites. And then obviously, you know, Jane Austen and the Brontes, and, you know, so all of those. And she goes, "I've never read anything like it." And she goes, "I can't wait till you guys are here in the Netherlands," which we're coming. We're getting there. So I've got a wonderful literary agent, Lori. She's been in the industry for about 30 years. We were just at the Frankfurt Book Fair about 2 weeks ago. That's our third time that we were there. It was really kind of cool because we were right across from Scholastic, you know, the publisher of Harry Potter. And we actually believe, honestly, that, and we can talk about this too, but we believe that we'll actually outsell Harry Potter in the next 10 years for all the reasons that there's nothing like this out there, that frankly, society today is just starving for just good quality content. Don't believe the numbers or statistics or all this other hogwash, you know, because it's all flash over substance, not reality. People aren't buying the crap that's in the theaters, that's on the television, that's in the Barnes and Nobles, that's in the bookstores. People don't like that stuff, you know, and they want something that's just edifying and encouraging. And kids can relate to Tom, and kids can relate to Sarah. You know, you cannot solve your problems by waving a wand or saying a spell or putting on a magical cloak. And that's that disconnect from reality. They're trying to make kids want to be something that they're not, when every child is amazing, a gift of God. Every child is born with gifts. Every child is born with creativity. Often they just don't have the chance, you know, to utilize it. I mean, they're kind of forced into these institutions, the public system, you know, for 40 hours, 5 days a week. And their only qualification for being in that classroom is that they're 12 years old. And you wonder why they get fidgety. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's so unnatural. So anyway, so we're excited. We're excited about the series.
And this is something I can picture in my head, where I am engrossed in the book, and sitting next to me is my grandson, and he's engrossed in the same book, and I'm looking, what page are you on? And he's, what page are you? What do you think of this? I mean, it's something too. I think that promotes family unity and doing things together. And it's a very positive thing. Plus, it's inspirational, educational, and as you've pointed out, it does bring out the creativity of children, and it stimulates their mind.
Thank you. And I try to make, and it's funny too, because we are having that sort of impact that we're seeing. And it's always fun when you get those you almost see these little tremors, you know, over here and over there, and this movement here and there. We're doing, you know, we're perfect for the whole homeschool movement. It's gone from 5 million to 15 million in the last 2 years and growing, which is incredible. And the homeschool children that I've met are the best educated kids out there, period. We can talk a little bit about that if you wanted to, but I'm hearing that where the parents are now like kind of, you know, getting back and reading the books because they're seeing how engrossed their kids are. You know, I've had, you know, 12-year-olds that have read book one like 5 or 7 or 10 times. I can't even imagine that. They're so into it and they love it so much. I had one girl that's like her favorite series, and she turned her room into an explorer room. And I just love that kind of feedback because it's like, I don't quite know what that looks like. Probably, you know, a bunch of maps and stuff, but I thought that's a lot. That's a lot better than a room of witchcraft, you know what I mean? Or vampires.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I try to make them as authentic as possible. I'm doing research every single day, like as I'm working on book four, you know, like I'm going back to edit some of it, and it starts in Vienna, Austria. And so it starts in April, and I'm literally like, so what kind of flowers grow in April in Vienna, in Austria? You know, what's the temperature? How far is the distance between this building and that park? You know, how much does that cost, you know, for a train ride from Vienna to Poland, you know, to Warsaw? I mean, I'm doing this all the time to try, and I'm not drowning it in details, which I think too many authors do, but I'm just trying to make it as real and authentic. And I do tend to write myself, you know, into corners because it has to make sense. It has to be realistic. You know what I mean? And it's fiction, and you can suspend reality a little bit and you can have some fun. But, you know, you don't start here and suddenly they're there. You know what I mean? And or I can't wave a wand, or I can't say, oh, let's use that magical cloak so we can walk through the wall or fly. You know what I mean? And so I don't have those devices that all the other kind of books use.
Man, I'll tell you what, folks, if you are tired of the junk that's out there that your children and grandchildren are exposed to, I'm telling you, okay, just again, from the bottom of my heart, I love this man. I love his products, whether it's in book form, play form. Everything I know about this, okay, is just absolutely stellar. Okay. And folks, I would not steer you wrong. You know, most people who are listening and watching, you've known me for so many years. You know that when I find a good thing, a great thing, I get excited about it and want to share it with you. And that's why I would urge you right now to go to britfield.com or click the link in the program description box. And please do this. Consider this as a gift for your child or your grandchild, or heck, even yourself, because it's that engaging, the series, the trilogy, and it's very affordable for the special. And I guarantee you, your children, grandchildren, they're going to be talking about it. And teachers, listen up. Hey, there's always something for you as well. You know, so I appreciate that. We're talking, of course, with Chad R. Stewart, an amazing man, an amazing creator, and someone really my new literary hero, that's for sure. Before I get back to Mr. Stewart, I want to say thank you to all of those people who support us. Thank you to our sponsors, including and especially healthwithdoug.com. You know, you can help take years off the clock with collagen. And one of the leading reasons, and I've said this so many times, but please listen to me. One of the leading reasons that skin begins to sag and form wrinkles is not necessarily because of old age. Nope. It's because our bodies are missing out on a central collagen. Did you know that? Okay, because every decade, we produce 10% less collagen once we hit 30. And that's the reason behind this aging process. The pesky wrinkles and the sagging skin. Just ask my wife when I take my shirt off. Not anymore. I'm telling you, that's my story. That's why myself, along with tens of thousands of people, have turned to this cutting-edge new substance to help reduce visible signs of aging. That's why I look 30 to you. No, I'm kidding, of course, but no, seriously, I've seen people turn back the clock. And I'm not making that up. I'm saying that they've never, to me, they've never looked better now after taking this product, this collagen. It uses the top five most researched types of collagen, which is essential for skin health, to support skin, the elasticity. Yeah, I can say that. The spring back of the skin, you get what I mean, and hydration, which is extremely important. These five collagen types are very, very hard to find on their own, but they're all included in every scoop. Just mix a serving like I do. Hey, with your favorite morning drink, mine is orange mango juice, and your skin, that'll give your skin the building blocks it needs to reignite your youthful glow. Eric the Tech says, I glow, but that's Eric the Tech. And for other reasons. I'm joking. But here's the deal, folks. The best part I love about this is you get 53% off for, well, until the supplies run out, which I was going to say until the end of the month, but until supplies run out. Plus, you'll receive just a ton of gifts valued at over $500. There's a free ebook titled The 14 Foods for Amazing Skin. They've got a 60-day satisfaction guarantee and free shipping. You can't beat that even with a big stick. Go to healthwithdoug.com. That's healthwithdoug.com. Healthwithdoug.com. You will not regret it. And I just, again, when we find great products and solutions, we want to tell you about it, just like Mr. Chad R. Stewart, or his literary, I like to call him C.R. Stewart, because that's kind of a classy thing. Of course, he's a classy guy. And he's the man behind Britfield. Britfield.com. Go there. And folks, really read about what's going on. Sir, thank you for your patience and allowing me to take some time out. Please continue anywhere you want to go in continuing what you were saying.
Yeah, Eric, real quick, if you want to bring up the website again and click tours, it would just be kind of fun to show some pictures to the audience.
I saw this earlier, folks. Yeah, if you're listening to this, go to Hagman PI and click on the video, or just go to Britfield.com and check this out. Go ahead, Eric. I'm sorry. There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, you can kind of scroll down, and so this is from our tour, you know, or tours. The one on the right there, that's Oaks Christian up in L.A., one of the top schools. That's 430 students. It's incredible. Behind me was literally a movie screen size for my presentation, which was exciting. And you could see small classroom, that one in the middle, that was in Missoula, Montana. There was a snowstorm. I barely made it there. But it was awesome. The teachers were awesome. The kids were awesome. Just incredible. We did, you know, we do small libraries. We did big auditoriums, 300-400. Through eighth grade, and it was a once in a lifetime experience. We're now planning next year a global tour. It's going to be an 18-month global tour. We're going to start in England. It'll be 6 weeks in England, Scotland, and Ireland. Can't wait for that. That'll probably be in March next year, and then Eastern Europe probably in September, using Poland as our beachhead for Eastern Europe. And it's kind of fun. Poland was our first, because we're people are kind of wondering, like, so books are translated, and does the publisher translate that? And normally what happens is you'll sell the rights to the book to a publisher in, like, France, and then they own the rights in French, and they'll actually do the translation from English to French. And so our first international rights sales, which was about 18 months ago, maybe 2 years ago, was Poland. And I was so excited about that. I love my Poland brothers and sisters. So anyone that's listening, can't wait to visit your gorgeous country. And that was our first. And they actually just, in the last 2 weeks, just purchased book three. So now they have the entire trilogy. Book one came out a couple years ago, record sales. It's selling thousands. We're selling thousands of Britfield and Lost Crown books in Poland right now. And it's interesting, because you might sit there and ask yourself, you know, why is Poland so fascinating to you? Well, we've got Britfield planned for the last 10 years on a global scale. And really, United States has always been our pilot program. And so everything that we've done for the last 4 years has been really, in my opinion, a soft launch. And next year, starting in January, we go big and we go global. And you're probably wondering, why haven't I heard about it? Or why is it not in the library, or this or that? It will be, trust me. And we actually just picked up at the Frankfurt Book Fair, really excited, we just picked up a global distributor for Britain and Europe. And that means that they'll be taking all the trilogy into their system, and then and then it'll be everywhere. So we're excited, and we're going to support that, you know, by being in Britain next year and doing book, you know, book tour. And I can't wait to get to the schools in Britain. It's going to be so much fun. In Scotland, you know, my last name's Stuart, so it'll be fun to revisit some of my ancestry. And then I love Ireland. Yeah, you know, the Irish are awesome. You guys rock. I just love Ireland. And but with Poland, it's interesting because I think we'll sell 50 to 100 million books in Eastern Europe. I really do. I think it's going to take off like wildfire, and it already is in Eastern Europe, because it's the story, it's the theme, you know, especially with Poland. Poland has always been at the crosshairs of history over the centuries. And it's like they're searching, you know, for their identity. And it's that David and Goliath story. And that's really what Tom and Sarah are all about. I mean, it's interesting too, because you'd appreciate this, Doug, and a lot of it's from listening to your show and Doug Hodges and Ted Brower. Gosh, I've learned so much from him. And doing my own research for the last 12 years. I mean, I've really been relearning history for the last 12 years. But I include a lot of the things that are happening right now in the stories because it naturally fits, especially with Britfield and the Rise of the Lion. That's kind of my Empire Strikes Back in the trilogy. You know, things get a little bit more intense, and there's this group behind everything called the Committee. And so it's, I introduce all these different themes, everything from technology to D-Wave computers to book four talks about digital currency, one world currency. And it's a thread that runs through the series. But it's fascinating because kids are learning. They'll even learn a little bit about that. It's kind of pulling the curtain a little bit. I don't go too deep into it, but it fits this idea and story of Britfield. What is Britfield? And what's actually, you know, it's a royal family that was usurpered over centuries in England. And it came to its climax under Queen Victoria and the Windsor dynasty. And so you have all this wonderful history in it. And how's Tom connected to Windsor and I'm sorry, connected to Britfield? And I don't want to give anything away, but it's fun. I mean, there's these high octane, fast paced adventure series with just wonderful characters and twists and turns. And you have no idea where it's going and what's going to happen. And it's exciting.
Would you say it's wholesome? I mean,
absolutely.
But yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I don't like to throw words around, you know, like wholesome, because sometimes people will say, well, boy, it's going to be boring. It's anything but boring. It's the trilogy, and I'm sure additional books will be so engaging. But again, folks, this is an alternative to the stuff like Harry Potter, the stuff with witchcraft in it. You don't have to have your children, grandchildren subjected to that. Something even more engaging, Britfield, the trilogy and additional books, the plays and so on, the films, and media. Folks, please go to Britfield.com and learn about this and consider giving this wonderful literary gift to your children, your grandchildren, hey, nieces, nephews, and even yourself. And I mean that from the heart, because we talk about all this other junk every day. You need something to lift up, inspire, and to inspire you and your children and their creativity as well, and which this does very well. Continue on, sir.
Yeah, we received like feedback from all over and it's amazing. Actually, we had a great quote from the Epoch Times last year. It said it's a combination of Dan Brown and C.S. Lewis, and I thought that was pretty cool.
I do remember I was actually provided that. I don't have it with me on my show notes here, but some very high praise indeed. Just the whole concept behind this, it's exciting to me, folks. If you can't tell already, I'm excited about this. I really am. And to have you on, someone of your stature on, because I think you've given just a tremendous gift to the world through your writing and through your writing, through your imagination, through your creativity. What a great gift you've given us.
Thank you. I mean, that's high praise, and specifically coming from you. I'm honored, really. I really am honored. And you know, I just fight the good fight, and I get up every morning, and I just work away. And it's fun too. We had when book three came out, you know, September last year. You know, great feedback from our fan base. But I'll never forget. I had a 14-year-old high school student, and she said, "I just got done with book three." She goes, "It's my favorite of the series." She goes, "You're now up there with Lord of the Rings," and I just thought, I thought that is pretty cool. I mean, like wow, you know what I mean? And like that 14-year-old praise is worth 100 paid-to-play literary critics, you know, that can't spell their name or tie their shoelace. They don't know anything. But that's my audience, you know, and that's a well-read 14-year-old. And she sat there and read book three. And in many ways, you know, that is what I'm competing against. I'm competing against, you know, some extraordinary books out there, and even recently, you know, that are, again, flash over substance, the demigods and this and that. But it is enticing, and so to not only compete but to do better than they're doing by keeping it grounded in reality, keeping it grounded in family values. I mean, if you've asked me what's the number one theme of Britfield and Lost Ground, it's about family. So I have all this fun sort of, you know, Born meets Bond-esque, you know, meets, yep. You know, 24 with Keith and Sutherland, you know, that high octane, fast paced, fun adventure, twist turns. But it's just—it's all about family. It's all about friendship. That is the anchor that goes all the way through it, and the relationship between Tom and Sarah, and what they overcome and what they confront, and using their own mind and their brain to think, and what should we do next, and they discuss and they talk and they collaborate, and you incorporate critical thinking, and I'm solving it as I'm going. You know what I mean? Like when the problem arises, I got to sit there and say, how do you get out of this, or what would make sense, or what would I do next? And I'm doing research all the time. And there's a great scene where it's funny too. When I started the series, I thought it would be a hot air balloon that goes around the world, right? And with book one, but I soon found that it's fun with the balloon. It's and there's so many great themes in these series. It's perfect to teach because you could spend a month just on Weatherly Orphanage and the themes and what it represents and the because everything. It's like with Yorkshire. Northern England, it's like the Industrial Revolution, you know what I mean? And the factories. And that's exactly what Weatherly Orphanage has been turned into. And the kids, you know, are working all day long and they get like one meal a day and they're not getting any kind of education. And there's a wonderful scene where at the beginning where it's called the book exchange. And every month, one of the orphans has to sneak out of Weatherly, you know, across, you know, 100 yards to Mr. and Mrs. Grievous's beautiful Victorian house, sneak into the library, grab one book, exchange it for the other, and they bring that back so all the kids can read a book, and that's how they become educated. And it's just, it's such a high praise to reading, to literature. And I feel like, you know, give the gift of literature, give the gift of reading. And so so it's fun. There's just so many themes. So I was going to share this real quick. This came back to us last year. And this is actually from a teacher, librarian in Louisiana. And she sent me this text and it was amazing. I was actually at another school. I did a presentation last year to two groups, fifth and sixth graders. We sold like 90 books at this school. I just thought, wow, like in one pass, that was incredible. But I was kind of waiting to go into the next class. I got this text and she said, she goes, I just received this. She goes, we have an eighth grade student who is a reluctant reader. Countless teachers and librarians have tried to get a book into his hands for years. Yesterday, his mother saw me and shouted, "You're the teacher that finally got my son to read, all because of the Britfield book." She told me that it was the first book he has ever read and enjoyed his entire life. Thank you again for what you do. And I just thought, wow. And we've noticed that we're having a huge impact on literacy in that capacity. And again, things that I didn't plan when I started this series, and it's obviously out of my hands and in someone else's hands, if you know what I mean. So, but we are, you know, 15, 14, 16 year olds that just don't read or reluctant readers, and they get their hands on Britfield, and in 2 to 3 days they read it and they're back for book two or three. And I love that. And a lot of it's the way that I write it. I mean, I was trained as a script writer. And so I learned the three act structure. I learned economy of words. I learned tight descriptions, starting on the action, ending on the action, and just moving it along. And all of that, if you will, consciously, subconsciously, went into book one and then the rest of the series. And for my last edit, you know, it goes through multiple edits. It's really 20% writing. And Doug, you can relate to this. You know, you get all your ideas out, you know, which is great. And you got kind of your first draft, and then the real work begins. Now, I think the creating of it is the hardest part. That's the 20%. But the 80% is the editing. And it's like combing matted hair, right? You do your first edit, and then you take a break, and then you come back. And you're just trying to get it smoother and smoother and smoother. And for my last edit, and I'll do a paper edit, when I'm printing out two or three pages, because it reads very differently. And this is a tip to anyone that's writing any kind of paper or term paper or book. You do as much as you can on the laptop or computer, which is great. That's where I do all my editing. And then you get to the next phase. And that's when you start to print out a couple of pages at a time and you read it. You know, you sit down in a chair, highlighter and pen, and you read through it, and you'll catch so many things. It'll read very, very differently. So my last edit, I actually try to get rid of at least one sentence per page. What can I get? It's already real tight. What can I get out of there? What's redundant? What's repetitive? Can I take two sentences and combine it into one? My goal as a writer is to be writing one to two sentences that does everything that a paragraph would do, right? But also what I do too, and I was talking about over description, I don't do that. I frame stuff and I let you as the reader fill it in. And my best example of that is with the balloon in book one. You know, I describe this tall, big, I think it's 100 feet tall balloon that's kind of sitting there with a basket, you know, tanks and this and that. But I never describe the color of the balloon, which is kind of interesting, right? You think that'd be like the first thing, big red or big orange or big. I don't, because I'm making you as the reader fill it in. And so I do a lot of that. I'll frame stuff and I'll give you the framework of it, and then I let you fill it in.
Isn't that fabulous? And I can relate to everything you said, and I think that's why there's such a dramatic appeal for your writing, because of the work that you've put into it. And folks, hey, if it was easy, everyone would be an author. Everyone would have a book, right? But this man, Chad Stewart, is a creative machine. And his vision, by the way, is to regain the attention and creativity of our children by telling this global adventure story. If you're tuning in late, this is what we're talking about. That includes real places, actual places, and actual history. So our children can learn. And now there's something that I don't think we touched on. There's a syllabus that also comes with the book. Is that true?
Well, you can purchase it. Yeah, it's an 83-page study guide based on national standards. And so it can be taught in the classroom. And chapter by chapter, vocabulary, words, you know, everything. It's amazing. I didn't do it. It was an incredible woman that did it, Tony. She spent 4 months taking the whole book and turning it into a study guide. It's separate, but it's wonderful. And as I said, we're already being taught in hundreds of schools across the nation, which is wonderful. I mean, that's a miracle in and of itself. But for a book to ever get into a classroom and become part of the repertoire, it means another book had to get kicked out. And so we're excited about that. We're in thousands of schools right now. We've been in partnership with a national retailer that's in 55,000 schools across the nation. 2 years ago, they picked Britfield Lost Crown as their number one middle school book, and they've been rolling it out. Did a big order last year, 30,000. They're just about to do another huge order of 100,000 books. It's a bind up of book one and two. And we're excited. It was interesting too, because they're doing these new programs where they come into schools. They're kind of like fundraisers, and they started out with like 50, and then they went to like 200, and then 1,000, and they're building it into their, you know, and they have sales agents all over the nation. But they had about 80 other books, you know what I mean? Other titles, of course. Right. And these are all the major publishers out there. And it was interesting. He told me this last year, and he goes, we had complaints from parents or teachers about every single book last year except Brookfield. And I thought, wow. You know what I mean? Like if someone's always going to complain about something, you know what I mean? But I just thought, what a statement. I mean, that's amazing. And so that was cool.
Wow. Again, folks, you know, replace that witchcraft with thinking and friendship. That's what Brookfield does. Yeah, it's a fabulous change. And Mr. Stewart, again, Chad R. Stewart, C.R. Stewart, he hopes to give a real kick in the butt to the sorcery, the satanic overtones of things like Harry Potter that has gripped really two generations of children, our children. Sure. You know, so what you're seeing, what you're hearing, and what your children and yourself can experience is, again, real live or real action, real places, actual history. And as you mentioned, your next books are going to, I mean, digital currency. Wow. I mean, current events, how you weave that into the storyline. I mean, how fabulous is that?
It was interesting, too, when book two came out, people were reading it, Brifield and the Rise of the Lion. And, oh, I love that book. It's so good. It takes, you know, starts in France and it's all through the French countryside, and but people were reading and they said, "What are you, prophetic?" You know, and I said, "No, I go. I just do my research. I just know what's going on, you know, behind the scenes, and I've been doing that for, like I said, over 10 years and stuff." And so some of that just sort of creeped into the books and the story because it fits and it's natural. But we can shift to the movie. I wanted to share with your audience.
Yes, please.
This is the Brifield and the Lost Crown movie script. You're seeing it. This is our third draft. That is page 153. So that's what I was working on right now. I'm about a day away from finishing the final polish of it. I'm getting it from 168 to 150, 150 pages. And for anyone that's familiar with scripts or movies, every page is a minute, and usually, give or take. And so if you have a two-hour movie, you've got about a 120-page script. And so so we had our second draft, but we had quite a few extra pages, and so I've been trying to cut and get it all tight. And we're looking at about a 2-hour, 15-minute movie. We're hoping to go into pre-production in spring of next year, and if all goes well, production in England about this time next year, October and November. So excited. And then again, if all goes well, launching Brifield and the Lost Crown, first movie of seven, in November 2025. And it's I'm just so excited about it. As you well would be, and I have been, you know, for 10 years, but I've had to contain it because it's like there was nothing I could do with the movie yet. And so it's like work the book and then work the tours and then write book two and then book three and then the play. And the play was a great caveat into the movie, though.
I can see that. And so you're about a day away of completing the edit for the film. But yet here you are taking time out. God bless you. Okay. To talk with me about this incredible production. 2025 is the target date for the film. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's November 2025. And I didn't write the movie script. I hired a professional script writer that's been involved with this for about 30 years. He's written over 40 scripts, worked with all the major studios. So again, I'm not trying to do everything. You know, I find the experts. And but I'm now with the third draft because it became redundant. You know what I mean? I'd be going through it and like marking this and marking that, and then I have to give him all these notes, and I'm like, let me just do it now. You know what I mean? Like, so he's done all the hard lifting. And he's done amazing. It's like you read the first 30 pages, which is act one. And it was just, it's so exciting. It's so fast paced. I'm like seeing it visually, and I'm seeing the 12-year-olds that are going to be in the theater standing up, you know, at certain scenes, and it's scenes clapping, you know, and just that interaction of the audience that you haven't seen probably for decades. And it's like the last 15 minutes of the first act is just sheer action as they're trying to escape. All the orphans have pulled together, and they're trying to cause a huge distraction so Tom and Sarah can get away. And they're all willing to sacrifice their own punishment if at least one or two orphans can escape from this horrible place, Weatherly, because every day that Tom and Sarah are out, it's a silent victory for all of them. And that's another whole theme of family. You know, maybe they weren't born together by birth or blood, but they're formed by a stronger bind or rope, you know, a friendship that makes them family. And they all look out for each one another. And it's heartwarming. You know what I mean? It's so heartwarming that essence of compassion, you know, when they first break out of Weatherly and they bump into this, you know, older man at his little shack as they're trying to get to the train station. And he notices immediately that they're from the orphanage, and he brings him in for a few minutes and says, "Why don't I get you, you know, a hot bowl of soup and I'll drive you to the train station." And he gives him like a 10-pound note and says, "Tom, take care of Sarah." And, you know, it's just, it's so simple, but it's so powerful.
Man, I'll tell you what a novel concept, friendship, family, loyalty, the wholesome nature of what we're talking about. You know, all you have to do, folks, is go on social media and you can see what we're dealing with every single day. And obviously that this is not that. And that is a consequence. I would argue what we're seeing on social media and some of the horrific things that we're seeing, especially with our children, involving our children, is a direct consequence of what they're exposed to at an early age or during, even during high school or as a young adult. And this is, to me, a solution that we've long needed. Britfield.com. That's where to go. Britfield.com. And folks, I'll tell you what, do what I'm going to do. Get the trilogy. And by the way, you signed the is it true you signed the copies? I mean,
I do. Yeah. Right now, I mean, while I still have time, it's the best way to buy it is through our website, because you'll get signed copies. No one else signs them. I sign every single copy, and sometimes it could take hours, and it's awesome, and I love it, and I'm grateful for every single book we sell. Grateful.
Oh man. That's great. Again, Britfield, Britfield, Britfield.com. Link in the program description box. We got about 3.5 minutes left to you, whatever you want, wherever you want to go.
Yeah, I think, I'm excited about the tours next year. I mean, you know, they kind of keep getting sidelined because of events, if you will, but that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we're also developing, this is kind of fun. We're developing right now. We're developing the Britfield Lost Crown board game. And you might sit there and say, you know, like board games. And it's like, last year I met with vice president at USAopoly, which does Monopoly. They've done over 200 different Monopolies. They have it like, you know, they have, I think last year they launched Surfer Monopoly, if you can imagine. So it's all the cool surf places. And something, you know, they have Boston Monopoly and New York Monopoly. And she said, it's interesting. It's very counterintuitive. But she said the board game industry is a $2 billion industry. And she says it's growing at 5% every year. Isn't that interesting? Wow. And so I thought, oh, cool. And so, and of course, we'll do digital stuff. We, you know, we're already in talks with, like, you know, major, you know, apps or this or that, you know, some kind of, because this would be a great sort of online series, you know, as a game, because it's like, again, it's educational, it's real, it's about family. And but I love the board game. And so we're developing that now. And what we're going to be doing probably next year, and I actually already have, I think it's the largest board game manufacturer in the world that's interested in Britfield Lost Crown board game. And I thought, that's pretty cool. And but we're going to actually involve some of the schools, and 5 or 10 of the schools that have been on our tour that have been very supportive. We're going to do programs, contests with a classroom or the students to develop the Britfield board game. And then everyone will win in the sense that, you know, $300 or $500 to each school for that classroom to do something fun, you know what I mean? Pizza party or something, not replace staplers. But we might do a couple scholarships and then have a grand prize. And then each team will, you know, we'll do a Zoom. I'll have a framework, and then each team will have a captain, and then the team will present to me the concepts and what they see and think. And we love that. We love that interaction with children. I mean, the 10, 11, 12-year-olds, geniuses, you know? There was a test that was done by George Land over, it was years ago, and he developed it for NASA, which is a whole nother story. But, he developed this creativity test, because set aside from, you know, engineering and mathematics and analytical skills, they needed to be very, very creative, as we all do. Creativity right now is the most important skill set in the world. That's a fact. But he took that same test and went out to these schools and started testing, children. And he tested 5-year-olds, and 5-year-olds were testing at 98% creativity. Little geniuses, as every child is. Creative, 98%. He went back, tested them at age 10, dropped down to 30%. And then he tested them again at 15, and it dropped down to 12%. So from 5 years old at 98% to 15 to 12%. And so the conclusion was, and I don't want to get into the negative aspects, that schools were educating kids out of creativity. And so we're trying to bring creativity back into the classrooms and back into the children. So that's just one of the kind of campaigns that we're going to be doing that are fun. And real quick side note, for every book, like with book one, this started, when I'm done with my final draft, I took it out to schools, private and public. And, you know, the dean or the principal, see if they're interested, and then you get a couple teachers that are involved to see if any of the kids were interested in reading the manuscript and could give me feedback. And so they had 3 weeks, you know, to do that. And then they would fill out a survey and then I would go in. And so we had like 150 volunteers for 30 manuscripts at one school. But that is what we've been doing with all the books. And we'll sit there in the library, you know, around a little round table for four or five kids during the different class periods. I've already gotten their surveys back. And I am no longer the author or the teacher. I am listening to my audience tell me what they think of my book. And so we've already been involving hundreds of kids. Yeah.
How great is that? You are a creative machine indeed. Your vision, again, to regain the attention and creativity of our children through your global adventure story, Bridgefield.com. Chad R. Stewart, thank you so very much. We're out of time. God bless you.
Honor. Thank you.
All right.